make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
What's up, everybody? Nathan Zagura joined in studio by Michael Regei, filling in for Vic Carucci, who was on vacation this week, and hopefully he will enjoy himself on that vacation. But Reg, good to be working with you, brother.
Nate, dog, great to be with you. We've heard you the last couple of weeks.
That's
hope
right.
The vacation went well. You enjoyed the holiday, you and your family, and back to work, man. Only what now? Less than 3 weeks away.
That's right. Can't wait for the draft. That is in 3 weeks. Less than 3 weeks. Should have been this Thursday, quite frankly, NFL. It should have been in 3 days, which I would have liked a little bit more. But we'll wait. We'll be patient. And the good news is that it gives us more time to talk about this stuff, analyze it. We know that the Browns team, it's reported they worked out Johnny Manziel over the weekend. Blake Bortles supposedly coming to town this week. So the question I have for a lot of people out there is, are you coming around on either of those quarterbacks at number four? For those of you still on Team Teddy, do you believe any of these quarterbacks are worth the pick at number four? And we're going to get some good insight from somebody who knows Blake Bortles very, very well. George O'Leary, the head coach from the University of Central Florida, will join us at 1:15 p.m. Eastern today. So we'll certainly look forward to that. We're going to hear from Mel Kiper breaking down his latest mock draft. We're going to hear some sound from Warren Moon talking about the quarterback, specifically Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. Doug Deacon from the Cleveland Browns Radio Network will join us at 2. Gerard Cherry joins us at 2:30. So we've got a ton of stuff to get to. And again, we want to hear from you. You can tweet the show at Browns_daily or call us at 216-578-0850 here on this Monday. Remember, the good news is only two more Mondays that we have to go through. This one, two more before we are done with this, and we're at the draft, and we know what happens. But a lot of intrigue there in the draft. We know the team reportedly worked out. It's been said by numerous sources the team worked out Johnny Manziel over the weekend down at Texas A&M. And, Reg, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Manziel's there for you at number four. Is that even an option in your mind at this point?
It's got to be now, yes. Although I'm on record as saying that I'm going to stay consistent. My first blush was that none of these young quarterbacks to me are worthy of a top five selection because, to me, Nathan, I believe a tremendous amount of pressure to play them right away in a situation like the Browns are in. I got to have a guy I believe could take me to the playoffs right now, and in 3 to 5 years, can he win a Super Bowl for me?
Right.
That's what a top five quarterback is to me. I hope I'm wrong. I hope some of these young men in the National Football League come in and can do just that and prove people like me that don't believe they can wrong. Although, Nathan, I'm not sold on any of them there. I do think a couple of them probably can have solid NFL careers. How good is up to their environment and to them?
Sure.
How much they want it, as we know. But Nathan, right now, today, although I'm gaining a little momentum with a couple of them, I'm still going to say I'm not going for with any of them.
You know, and it's interesting. Today, a league source was quoted as saying that Blake Bortles will be the first quarterback taken in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say where, but obviously, number one, the Texans are in play. A lot of people starting to think now at number three, the Jacksonville Jaguars are in play for Blake Bortles. Obviously, the Browns at 4, Raiders at 5. And they said they do feel that he will go in the top 5 picks. So, how many quarterbacks are going to go early? That's a question that we won't know the answer to until May the 8th.
But
right now,
two of them are going to go top five.
I think that's very possible.
I
think we're getting a lot of hype about it, that they're going to fall. Teddy Bridgewater, if he goes in the second round, I would be absolutely shocked, even though that's what we're hearing right now.
I'm with you on that. I saw a couple of those possibilities over the weekend. I'm like, whoa, Teddy Bridgewater all the way to the second round, a la Geno Smith.
Right.
Last year that fell to, and Smith gained some momentum, as we saw, as you know, started to win a little bit, get acclimated toward the end of the season, beat the Browns in one of those
jet wins. Pretty good against the Browns.
He did. Yeah. He did, but I would be surprised like you, Nathan. I can't see Bridgewater sliding all the way through the first 32 picks and getting into round two.
No, and you know, I've heard from people that I trust that the Patriots absolutely love him and would not be afraid to take him at the end of the first round as kind of the heir apparent to Tom Brady, because what he does is so similar to Brady. It's that intermediate accuracy, the short passing game, understanding defense, defenses, being safe with the football, things like that. Does he have the body of a Blake Bortles? No, he does not. He's bigger than Johnny Manziel, taller anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting quarterback group because you have that top tier, and we talked about this last week on the show. You have the top tier guys, the top four. Then after that, you have people that are interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo, interesting to a lot of people.
Sure.
I love Aaron Murray. I think if Aaron Murray was 6'3", he'd be the first pick in this draft.
Could be.
I love Aaron Murray. Yeah, then you got Mettenberger. You've got Tom Macho Man Savage, who's coming out of nowhere, who I don't like at all.
He is.
I want no part of him, but he's a guy who's coming up. And it's interesting, you read as information now, because with these extra 2 weeks, it's almost information overload, Reg. And you got coming out of Houston that maybe they're open to trading it, that there's a certain contingent that wants Clowney, there's a certain contingent that wants Bortles, and then there's a whole nother contingent, the scouts, that want Teddy Bridgewater, actually. Scouts of the Houston Texans, it's being reported. Matt Miller, who does the draft reporting for Bleacher Report, says that that's what he's hearing. The scouts in Houston want Teddy Bridgewater. So that's the team with the number one pick, considering him, and obviously if he got late in the first round, I bet they would hop back up there and go for him. But it is an interesting draft with these quarterbacks, and all the focus is there, but there are so many great players that will be available to the Cleveland Browns at number four that don't play quarterback that it's interesting. If do you go with a guy that might be, as you said, you're saying these quarterbacks in your mind, none of them ready to step in for you at number four, but some of these position players are. Who do you like out of the position players?
Oh, I love Khalil Mack. I love Sammy Watkins. I love Greg Robinson. I love Jake Matthews. I love Mike Evans. I love Justin Gilbert. I love Fuller. I love Darquez Dennard.
I talked
cornerbacks last week.
We did.
I'm hoping that let me put it another way. I really believe if they, certainly won't be at four, you wouldn't imagine, but 26-35 wouldn't shock you or I if the Browns went after a corner, because there's so many quality elite corners that are expected to be, and have, like some of the receivers that are in the draft that a lot of folks think, hey, they've got all-pro potential.
Sure.
So I would really, really believe that the Browns, somewhere in there, they're going to take a corner if the one or the two that they like fall to them there. And that wouldn't bother me at all.
No, I
26 or 35 wouldn't bother me at all, Nathan, if they grab that elite corner that they could team with Joe Hayden.
To me, that's where I've had him taking a corner all along in every one of my mock drafts at 26. I like Fuller quite a bit. I think that there are some good options, as you pointed out. And wide receiver, I wouldn't mind if they went 26 cornerback, 35 wide receiver. The depth of those positions, unbelievable, and you'll be able to stack up. But the real question right now is at four, and we know, like I said, over the weekend, it was reported the Browns worked out Johnny Manziel. We know that they're going to have all these visits. They get 30 of them, the player visits, that are going to be happening over the next few weeks leading up to the draft. We heard Blake Bortles, it's being reported that he will be in sometime next week. We're talking with George O'Leary, his head coach at 115, going to get as good an insight, I would imagine, as you can get on Blake Bortles from his head coach. So the question is, Manziel, Bortles, any quarterback really, is there a quarterback you want at number four? 216-578-0850 is the way to get on board with us again on that question here today, or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. And let me ask you this, Reg, just because we talked about just how long it's taken to get to this draft.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing rumblings that the NFL is loving this and wants to do it even later next year. They're
pushing
trying to help us
June
out, maybe.
Now,
yeah,
huh?
Right?
Next?
Exactly. They're going to back the combine up. They want to back the draft up a little bit, so they have a big event every single month. What do you think about it? What do you think?
No. Let's see how this goes. I'm with you right now. I'm almost, our body clocks are saying the draft is supposed to be this coming Thursday, correct?
Right.
And so now here we are backed up 2 weeks. This is first-time experience for all of us. Let's slow down a little bit. Let's see how this plays out now in the next couple of weeks. Understand the NFL. Why? Because it creates more marketing, branding, and buzzing for them.
Of course.
Of course. But I don't know if you want to mess with this too much more because, as you said, now you're going to have to start moving combines, rookie camps, mini camps, quarterback camps, everything. So let's just see how this goes 2 weeks from Thursday.
And I also wonder if it's going to have teams, ultimately when they go back and look at their draft process, if it's going to have some teams chasing ghosts in the sense that
good point.
You have extra time and you're like, am I sure about this guy? Am I sure about, well, I'm reading this about, for example, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
Everybody's down on him. Let me go back and watch a tape. Oh, maybe I see something that I didn't. One of the things that I was told is that the best teams have their draft boards pretty much set before the combine and don't deviate from them. It's the teams that make all this movement when there isn't football being played and things are going on that aren't necessarily as important that end up struggling on draft day. And that's where I start to wonder where a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, where he was beforehand and where Tom Savage was before when they were playing football or just finished playing football, and the change in the perception valuation of those guys without playing a snap of football is a little interesting to me.
What you're saying is, or it sounds like what you're saying is that you're still going on what these young men did in their 12 or 13 performances in their final year of college football with their universities, and then what you see when you visit them during their practices during the week, which all NFL GMs and their sure. personnel people do, and what the tape shows me, Nathan, I'm still going with that. Those three things are my first go area. I'm not going to worry about because you start, as you said, chase ghosts, you outthink yourself,
right.
You start deliberating, you start hemming and hawing, and stick with, to me, the best rock. What did you experience yourself? What did your eyes tell you game day, practice day, and when you were talking to all around him that you needed to do his coach's position? All of that. To me, that's number one, and then everything else is way in the background.
Well, you're right, and speaking of talking to the coaches, Red, we're going to do that when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, because George O'Leary, head coach of the University of Central Florida, head coach of Blake Bortles, will join us live right after this. You do not want to miss that. We'll be right back.